ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo.
Chris Aceto.
RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo, and I'm joined by Chris the Technician Aceto. It is October 8th, 2012, and Chris, yes, it was close, but I am still alive, back in the United States 2 days early.
I can't believe you're back in full force. I can, but I can't. I said, okay, well, this will set him back. And then when you text me and said, oh, radio, I'm like, are you radio live from the hospital or live from the studio?
You know,
where are you?
I'm actually in my house. I'm trapped in my house. I'm like a landlocked Jew. I can't get out because I can't go anywhere. I can't drive. Probably most of the listeners know what happened this past weekend, but if they don't, I'll give the abbreviated version, and then you could ask me questions and I'll fill in the gaps if you want. I was in India. For some reason, Aaron booked us early. We went in there early. We left Tuesday night, which got us in Wednesday night on Indian time. So we got there. We had a few meals. We had a meal there at the hotel. It was beautiful. You know, the very nice hotel. India itself is a crazy country. A lot of people don't like it. I actually enjoyed going there, even though I wound up getting hurt. But I enjoyed the country. It's mad chaos, first of all. You know, there's no traffic lights, there's no stop signs, and there's no lanes on the highways or the roads. So everyone just goes for the open space, basically, and that's how it works. And plus, they drive on the other side of the car, so it's even more confusing, you know, for an American looking at this. It's just like a clusterfuck of like people driving. I remember I was in the cab, and the guy missed the turn, so he just pulled a U-ey right in the middle of the lane and went back against traffic, and it was like he didn't even back up; he did head forward. It was like a video game almost. And the reason they do this is because there are no laws there. There's no cops like pulling anyone over for speeding. You just do whatever you can do, and you know,
wing it.
A lot of people don't realize also the country has got a billion people in it. That's like what, like three times as much as the United States.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a lot of people in that country. So it's busy, especially in this, like a city like New Delhi. We got in like 11 o'clock at night or something like that on Wednesday night, and it was packed with traffic. I'm like, where the freak are all these people going? Yeah,
where is everyone going?
I don't know.
Are they trying to miss the bad traffic like during the day? Or
I don't know. They're just driving like absolute lunatics. So we get to the hotel, and to say that they were gracious to us and had great hospitality would be an understatement. I don't even think I can come up with the words to describe how accommodating the staff was at the Sheraton Hotel there where we stayed, which is a beautiful hotel. It's funny, you go into, we're not used to this in the United States, but you go into the gates of the hotel and they check your trunk, and they have like metal detectors everywhere because, you know, I guess terrorism, you know, is crazy, you know, sure, in that part of the world. And it makes you feel safer, at least. You know, I felt like I was in my own little sanctuary. And what I really learned for the first time, Chris, was that I really like authentic Indian food that's made in India.
Oh, it must be outrageous, I'm sure. Because I like Indian food in anywhere.
I loved it. It's my new thing. Now, I almost want to come to go to Indian restaurants in the United States now because of the fact that I actually garnished a real liking for the food. So that was the first night. We ate a little bit. Aaron gave me a little sleep cocktail, and we went to sleep. You know, the key to going to sleep when you cross so many time zones, I think we were like 12 hours ahead or something like that, first of all, Aaron slept the whole flight, like 14 hours. He took like four Xanax, and he like drank like 40 bottles of like vodka, which is stupid because obviously there was no way he was going to be able to sleep when he got there. So I slept the first 7 hours, and I stayed up the second 7 hours so that when I got, by the time I went to bed, I actually was able to fall asleep. But the key is melatonin. You got to take 6 milligrams of melatonin before bed when you cross time zones. And what it does is it resets your biological clock. So your body thinks, okay, now it's dawn, now it's dark, it's time to go out. Because your body 3 to 5 days to catch up with the time zones you're in, you know, and determine what the light and dark cycles are. So the melatonin instantly does that. And I got to tell you, I didn't have one problem sleeping. I was like, I completely converted it right over. And so I recommend that for anyone who does. Even if you go to California, it works really well. Unfortunately, when I go to California, I like that I'm 3 hours off because then I'm on a normal schedule. So I purposely don't take melatonin when I go to California. But I
do want to hear about the food and the traffic and that, but everyone wants to hear about the grand fall.
Yeah. Well, sorry. So the next day we decided we're going to do a lot of stuff because Aaron wants to get all this video stuff done and no one else there is doing anything. Basically everyone else there is just like a bunch of stooges there to cover, you know, a show that has 25 people in it, you know, in four divisions total. So I'm like, all right, let's go out. I wanted to buy some Indian gifts and stuff like that anyway. So I figured we'll have fun with it. So we rented a cab, which, you know, a cab, you know, from the hotel. If you want to get a real cab, it's $6 for the day, the whole day. The guy will stay with you. If you want to spend a lot of money, you get a hotel cab driver who's has a nicer, you know, car with air conditioning in it, and you spend $30 for the day. So that's what we did. And this guy drove us to some ruins we went to see. And and if you want to see all the video we did, it's all up on the RX Muscle site. Aaron put it all up. And I think we have like three parts or something like that. And, you know, we shopped. We bargained with people. I bought a bedspread set. I bought a custom suit, actually, Chris. $350 for a jacket, pants, a custom shirt and a tie of which I have never seen yet. I hope Aaron picked it up for me because it was going to be done the next day and I had to leave early. So I figured the suit's either going to be horrendous or it's going to be beautiful, or, you know. So I figured I'll roll the dice on this one. For $300, how can you go wrong on a custom suit? So they did that right there. They measured me up and we videotaped the whole thing and they were trying to sell us everything in the kitchen sink. Aaron bought a rug, you know. I bought some pretty interesting, like, not plaques, really. It's kind of like some like silver metallic like wall plaques, I guess you could say. I actually bought an authentic painting of the goddess Shiva, which some people call the goddess of death, but it's actually the goddess of change because death is all about changing from, you know, one energy form to another. Wow. That's how the you know, Indians see that. And it was originally painted. It was signed by the artist. I actually took a picture with the guy. And I negotiated with him. He wanted like $300 U.S. dollars, which is a lot of money in Indian dollars. I got him that to about $80. And I was a steal. The picture is phenomenal. I got to take a picture of it and put it on the site. And, you know, so we did all this shopping. We had a great time. We ate. We came back to the hotel. And I'm like, let's go to the gym. Because there was a gym down the block. It was called Fitness First. And I wanted to experience what a gym in India was like. Aaron was like, no, I'm too tired. I'm going to drink vodka. So I said, fuck you. Fine. I'm going to go to the gym. So I went with Pierre Lamley, photographer. And I walked down the block. And I got in there. And I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Dodgeball with Ben Stiller.
No.
I'm sure people...
Oh, yeah, I did actually see it. Yes, what about it?
Ben Stiller plays this like 70s throwback guy where he wears these tight spandex outfits and he owns this gym. It's called... I forget what it's called in the movie, but it's like all the people wearing spandex and it's just like really overly done and they play like music and stuff, like disco music. That's what this gym was like. It was exactly like that gym. But I guess I got a kick out of it.
Was it busy?
Yeah, it was busy. They were blasting like real. It was like a DJ there. It was like techno, not techno. It was like disco music almost. So I was actually enjoying the music, and I did my workout as best I could. They didn't have the best equipment there, but it was okay. I did some cardio, and then I noticed Pierre Lamley disappeared. So I said, I wonder if he's upstairs because they had like a juice bar up there. So I walked up this like spiral staircase. I looked at for him. I didn't see him. I went to the bathroom. I washed my hands because I'm so germophobic there. And I started walking down the steps. Now, I noticed that the stairwell was a very long, spirally staircase, and it was all wood steps, and they were very short steps. There was a lot of them. So I'm like, you know what? I have big feet. I'm going to fall down these steps. I just knew. I had like a premonition almost.
You said you had a premonition. You did tell me that.
Yeah, so I start walking down the steps, And next thing I know, I'm airborne. I don't know. And I must have had like some kind of an out-of-body experience because I don't really remember what happened. I just remember feeling like I thought my quad tore or something tore my knee. I did happen very, very bad. Like I've sprained my knee before because I've done freak things like this before. But I did something very bad. Now, the fact that I didn't fall down the whole flight of steps is a miracle. Somehow I stopped myself instinctively. I don't know how I did it because I should have just kept tumbling probably. But... I was screaming. You know, it's like you're sobbing. It's like, not like, it wasn't the pain. It was just, it was the sobbing, I think, because I knew that I fucked myself up really bad and I'm in another country. So the whole experience became surreal almost. Like I felt like I was in a dream. Like it wasn't really real. I don't know if you, well, you probably went to the, have gone to the hospital before. You ever go to the hospital and you're like, and you're just like, this can't be real. Like, this is just like people screaming.
Oh, yeah.
And, you
know. Yeah. I've been there.
So everyone's running around trying to help me. And so I figured, all right, you know what? I'm going to try to, it can't be that bad. Let me see if I can get up.
What'd you say? I'll get up?
Yeah, because I wasn't in that much pain, to be honest with you, considering what I did to myself. I got up and I'm still on the stairwell at this point, okay, in the middle. And there's a guy right in front of me, and he's like, "You all right?" I'm like, "You know what? I think I tore my quad. I can't believe it." I was like, "Oh," and I was like almost like crying.
What do you are you thinking? I got to edit all these videos, and
I'm thinking I'm in fucking India. What the hell am I going
to
do?
Yeah, I didn't know if like I'm in India or I don't have the time. I don't have the time to be injured.
I started going through all the things that I was going to have to do, like if I really hurt myself. Yeah, and it was starting to overwhelm me. So I said, "All right, just stop. Let me test the leg out." So I go to take one step, and I go. I get the same excruciating pain and I start falling and I grab onto the guy in front of me like you would hug your parent or something like that.
Yeah.
And he held me up and I said, "I'm fucked. You got," and so he walked me down the step. I put one arm around him and they got me in a chair and I put ice on it and I called up, I texted Aaron and he came down and with Pierre, I'm like, "Where the fuck did you go?" I said, "Pierre, if it wasn't for you leaving me," I said, "I wouldn't have gone looking for you. I would have been fine." So I had to blame someone. So I blamed him. And I kind of resigned myself that I was screwed. So I got back to the hotel and then I said to myself, "Well, what am I going to do?" I texted Victor Prisk and I told him what happened. He's like, "You got to immobilize that knee." Because at this point, I didn't even know what happened, you know. They called the doctor. The hotel's really good. They have their own doctor on staff. So the doctor comes up to my room about a half hour later and I'm like, "Look, I don't want to go to the emergency. I know you're going to want me to go to the emergency. I'm not going to the emergency room at 12 midnight in India." I said, "I just want a leg brace."
Against traffic that's driving, crazy driving.
He's like, "Well, it's only around the corner. I just want a leg brace and I'm getting out of here tomorrow. I know I need surgery on this thing." So he writes up this whole report. It takes him like 40. I know he's trying to just get money out of me at this point. At this point, I don't even know what they're going to charge me. You know, little did I know it was only $20 or something like that for the house call. This guy talked me into going to the hospital to get the leg brace. He said, "Oh, I'll get you in and out in a half hour." I knew that wasn't going to be the case. But what I didn't know was that any movie that you've ever seen about these third world countries in hospitals cannot do justice to what I experienced at this hospital. There were people like dropping dead of heart attacks all around me. And, you know, this doctor that came with me, he was like my guide almost through the hospital experience. You know, he stayed with me the whole night basically for 3 hours while we were there. And Aaron was with me. They were bribing my way past other people that were like dying basically, you know. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to do an X-ray. I'm like, "Oh my God." Now I'm thinking, what the hell is this going to cost? The X-ray was like $20 or something like that. They took an X-ray. Which doesn't really show much. It kind of shows.
I know you can't be too bad if you're thinking about the cost. Then the good thing is you're not. There's still hope for you.
Well, I'm thinking
you know what I mean. Because if you thought they were going to have to cut the leg off, you would have said, you know, no matter what it costs.
Right. I'm thinking to myself, it's not that bad, obviously, because I'm hobbling around on it, you know, and but if I step the wrong way, I just collapse to the floor. I almost fell backwards. Aaron actually caught me when I was walking to X-ray. And then that was it. They wouldn't let me walk anymore. They had to get the wheelchair for me, which I should have been in anyway. But I was in denial that I was, you know, in that much, you know, that there was anything wrong with me. So then they say the doctor says, "Well, I want to drain your knee." I said, "Whoa, now we're doing procedures." So I called Victor Prisk up for the dollar a minute. I said, "I'm calling him." I call him up. He answers. I said, "Victor, well, you know, they want to put a needle in my knee and drain it." He's like, "Well, is it swelled up?" I said, "Yeah, it's really swelled up." He's like, "Well, it can't hurt." He's like, "It'll probably help reduce your risk of infection and stuff like that." I said, "Okay." So I said, "Screw it. I'm here anyway. Let's do it." So the guy, he stuck. I don't know if you remember back in your steroid using days, an 18 gauge needle. Do you remember how thick that is?
I don't know it sounds like for a horse, but
put it this way: the higher the gauge, the small the needles.
The wider it is?
No, the small the needle. So like a 30 gauge needle would be like the smallest insulin pin you can ever imagine. Okay. But the lower the number, the bigger the diameter of the needle and the longer. Well, not the longer, but the bigger the diameter. So it like a 18 gauge needle is like a nail basically. And they stuck the 18 gauge needle, an inch and a half in length, into my knee joint. And before he did it, he said to me, I said, is this going to hurt? You know, not that I'm a big wimp or anything like that, but I just wanted to know. He's like, well, it might, you know, and that's not a good sign. You don't want to hear that from a doctor that it might, because that means it's definitely going to hurt.
Sure. I mean, it's going to kill.
Yeah. It didn't kill. It was uncomfortable, but it felt good that he pulled all that blood. He pulled about 100 cc's of blood out of my joint, which leads me to believe that I probably tore my ACL, because usually when you tear ligaments inside the knee itself, that's where you get the bleeding, whereas the patella tendon's outside the knee joint, so you wouldn't get that much blood in the joint. But who the hell knows? You know, yeah, I don't know. I'm not an expert in this area, so I'm just trying to like make assumptions. So I'm gonna, by the time this show airs, I'll probably will have gotten my MRI done, and I'll have a diagnosis. You know, regardless, I definitely need surgery on the leg. So anyway, he releases me from the hospital. Oh, by the way, I had to go to the pharmacy in the hospital, and I had to get antibiotics. They gave me some chymotrypsin enzyme, which is an anti-inflammatory, which I was impressed. You know, they do use some Eastern medicine, you know, combined with Western medicine, which is cool. And then their pain, Aaron was very disappointed with the painkiller they gave me, which is basically a leave. You know, it was.
Would he want to get some stuff for himself or something?
Yeah, he was trying to like make side deals with the pharmacist there at 12 midnight.
That would have been a good video.
Yeah, that would have been a good video. So we went. I got all my stuff, and we went back to the hotel. We got back 3 a.m. Luckily, they had, you know, late night room service, or I should say restaurant service, and we went and ate. And the next day, I basically got a flight back, and I flew back 10 o'clock that night. I just didn't want to. You know what it is? I could have stayed the rest of the weekend. My head wasn't in it anymore. You know, I just wanted to get the hell out of there. And it wasn't that I had such a good time. I really was upset that I didn't get to spend more time. But we had a really good day that one day, and it was fun. And Aaron did a great job with the play-by-play and putting the pictures up and all the videoing and the routine. So, you know, and Pierre Laneley took some great pictures. So, you know, they really held down the fort. I think we got the fun stuff done anyway, which was the first day. I really wanted to go on an elephant ride, but I found out elephant rides, you got to drive 4 hours outside the city for that. So maybe if I go back next year, which I would. I would do the next time. A lot of people say, oh, will you go back after this? I said, well, it wasn't India that caused the problem. It was my own stupidity that caused the problem, which is even worse. I wish
people
I could blame
think it was, well, people think it was jinx because you were a little queasy about going the year before.
Yeah.
So it's funny you said you had a premonition about falling because... Yeah. I was reading, you know, one of the threads about you falling, and right before you had texted me and said, I had a premonition of falling, someone on a thread said, Dave had a premonition from last year that he shouldn't go. So, it's manifesting itself this year slip.
That's right. That's right. You know, everything happens for a reason. Who the hell knows what this I'll figure it out eventually. At some point, I will come to an amazing revelation, and I'll tell you what I think it was, but... look, you know, it was meant to be that I had to get this to happen, and it happened, and I'm going to deal with it. The worst part now is that I'm not really in pain right now. I looked at my knee, and it's horrendous looking. I mean, it's all swelled up. The muscle lost all its tone. I don't even know. Maybe I tore my quad, too. I don't think I did, but it doesn't look good. So, like, I really want to get it fixed for that reason, but I'm not in pain. Sometimes being in pain is a better motivator because then you can't wait to get out of pain. I'm not really looking forward to the whole surgical process, especially after looking what Victor went through. And I know it's going to be a really long rehab. And, of course, it's my right leg, so I can't really do anything. I can't drive. And that, to me, I have to give up complete connection, which is the hardest thing. And I know you're a control freak, too, so you can relate to this.
Yeah, I know. I knew you. I knew. That's why I said, Dave can't have a bad knee because not that you can't. You could have two broken knees, but you just can't give up your independence.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy.
You know what I mean?
It's crazy. And then, of course, yeah, you know, I was trying to get a flight. They made me buy a new flight. I couldn't use the flight I had on Sunday night. I had to buy a new one for like $850. And it was just, the whole thing was ridiculous. These airlines got they got you by the cojones better than anyone. What a bunch of scammers they are. Because I mean,
they could have got you for like, you know, who knows? They could have got you for $1,800.
I had an emergency. That's what you know what they wanted to charge me? The person from the hotel called and said, it's going to be a $250 change fee. I said, okay, that's not too bad. And so we got on the phone. I was about to give my credit card, and they're like, plus $22.50 for the new ticket. Did the difference in price?
$22.50.
No, $2,250 in addition to the $2.50. I said, why would you even tell me about the $2.50?
Hey, at that price.
I was like, you guys are nuts. So then we went online and we found it on an Indian website for $850, which is what I wound up buying. But I mean, it was absurd. I hope they refund the flight that I didn't use, because these airlines have got some freaking nerve. And you know what the funny thing is? I had bought upgraded seats. Shiru bought us tickets, and then Aaron and I upgraded our seats so we would have like extra leg room. And so I said, when I got to the airport, I said to them, you know, this is a new ticket, but I had on the flight that I have on Sunday, I have upgraded seats. Can you give me those seats at least? No, this is a different ticket. They're like, I'm not using the other ticket. I'm like, but I already paid for it. You can check. No. They can't do it. Luckily,
what airline is it?
United Airlines. It's Aaron loves United because he has all his freaking flyers on there. They kiss his ass on there. Meanwhile, they kiss his ass so much. We try to get into the club in Newark Airport for United, and we got to the airport early. I said, let's go to the Admiral Club. You have your frequent, you know, flyer card or whatever he's got there, his premier card. We go in there, they're like, oh, you can't use that. You have to request passes ahead of time. You only get two per year or something like that. So I'm like, well, I'm thinking, I got my American Express Platinum card, which, you know, gets you into all the Admiral's Clubs and everything like that. That's, you know, one of the reasons they charge you a crazy amount of fee every year. So I show them that. They're like, we don't take that. I'm like, what do you mean you don't take this? Every airline takes. Yeah, every airline except for us. So we couldn't even get it. Like, I really wanted to go in there. It really didn't matter to me, but it was just the point that I'm like, let me ask you a question. He's the craziest frequent flyer I've ever seen. I have a Platinum card. If we can't get into this lounge, who the hell can get in? Who gets in? I want to know what gets you in the lounge.
Who does get in? Astronauts?
You got to get passes. I mean, I'm like, passes, but they only give you two passes per year. So, I mean, how could you get in? How do people who fly regularly get into your lounge here? What do you got in there? I said, what are you serving in here that I want that badly? Because I want to know. Now I'm actually intrigued. I want to know what you guys got in there. And the woman was nasty. They were nasty. They weren't even laughing. You think they would laugh. They'd say, look, haha, you know, this is our policy. Sorry. They wouldn't even break a smile. They were like appalled that I was even asking them, because I don't even know if Donald Trump could get into this thing.
Probably can't. Too easy.
I'll tell you
why. That's why he has his own plane. There's the solution right there. Next time you fly into India on your own plane.
I'll tell you what, even Trump's, no pun intended, the United Airlines Admiral Club, they have a premier green club or something that it's called in India, and the hotel gave me a free pass to get in there because they knew I was going to be at the airport early. This thing was amazing. They had hot food, cold drinks in refrigerators. They had alcohol. Everything was free. Free Wi-Fi. It was like I was in an exclusive health club. I mean, exclusive country club. It was blew away the United Airlines club. Believe me, this thing was amazing.
It makes a difference when you're taking a trip that long, you know, to be comfortable.
Well, this was just in the airport, and then when I got on the plane,
I know, but just, you know, the whole process.
Yeah, the plane,
door to door.
The plane was good because I got on the plane and they weren't going to give me the seat I wanted, I told you. And I really couldn't sit behind anyone because my leg needs to be in a straight position. So I got on the plane with the idea look, whatever's supposed to happen is supposed to happen. I was talking to this woman, and ironically, we both look at our ticket, and we had the same seat. She's like, oh, I'll give you the seat because it's an aisle seat. I'm like, you take the seat. This is my Trump card, I said, no pun intended again. I went to the flight attendant. I said, look, I got the same seat as this woman. I need leg room. I can't. And so she wound up putting me in the seat that they wouldn't give me initially. It was open. So I actually got the seat with nothing in front of me. And that worked out well. Actually, Aaron, when he upgraded our seats for $150 each way, which he didn't pay because he got a free upgrade, I get on the plane on the way there. And he actually had put me in a middle seat. So I had more leg room, but I was in. I said, "You put me in a fucking middle seat." What? He's like, "I thought you wanted to sit next to me." I'm like, "I don't want to sit in the middle seat next to you. You should have put me on the window." Yeah. I said, "Are you
That's
nuts?"
What I like the window.
I was screaming at him on the plane. Everyone was looking at us like we're like two gay lovers or something like that arguing. And he, I think he felt so bad that he actually gave the seat up to me. He's like, "You can have the aisle seat. I'll sit in the middle." I said, "Fine, I'll take it."
Were all the bodybuilders on the plane with you when you headed over there?
No, you know, it was just me. It was just Aaron, David Henry, and myself, actually. They didn't, because we went early. We went Tuesday. Most of the bodybuilders came Wednesday or Thursday. Right, I don't know why we came so early, but I'm glad we did because well, who knows? If I wasn't there, maybe I wouldn't have got hurt. But, you know, you can play these scenarios out in your head 1,000 times over.
You sound like a bodybuilder not being in his best shape. Well, maybe had I, you know, who knows? Had I not done this, maybe I would have peaked better.
All right, Chris, it's time to go to a commercial break. Let the sponsors be heard. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com. HouseOfPain.com. The biggest and strongest people in the world wear House of Pain clothing. House of Pain fighters hit harder, and House of Pain lifters are stronger. Put some attitude in your next workout with House of Pain. Check out the latest House of Pain gear at HouseOfPain.com or call 1-888-463-7246. That's 1-888-463-7246. Unleash your inner beast with House of Pain clothing. Visit HouseOfPain.com. Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to TadTheDietCoach.com, an expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to TadTheDietCoach.com or send an email to info@TadTheDietCoach.com.
Quest Bars from Quest Nutrition is Dave Palumbo's favorite protein bar. It's the only bar that's not simply a candy bar in disguise. There's no sugar or sugar alcohols, no soy, and zero trans fat. Quest Bars contain only the highest grade protein from whey and milk protein isolates. Quest Bars are also the lowest carb bar available, only 4 to 5 grams, and they all come from nuts. Quest Bars are also gluten-free. Quest Bars were specifically made for people who are serious about their physiques and who want the highest quality ingredients. Best of all, they taste great. Learn more about Quest Bars by visiting questproteinbar.com and try them out for yourself. Check out questproteinbar.com now.
Hey man, this is Mike Chain from Six Pack Shortcuts. If you want to build rip muscle fast, then I just posted a new video you've got to see. You can check it out at mikechainmusclebuilding.com. In that video, I'll show you why I never do traditional bodybuilding workouts anymore, and I'll show you the insane new style of working out I'm using instead called afterburn training. The reason why I like afterburn training is that it allows me to build lean muscle fast while still staying lean and ripped. So go to mikechainmusclebuilding.com now to find out how you can start building muscle faster. One more time, that's mikechainmusclebuilding.com. If you want to build rip muscle fast, then I just posted a new video you've got to see. You can check it out at mikechainmusclebuilding.com. I'll show you why I never do traditional bodybuilding workouts anymore to find out how you can start building muscle faster. One more time, that's mikechainmusclebuilding.com. I'll see you there.
Out on the edge of fitness and endurance, there's a line. It's where winners and losers are defined. That's the narrow place where Gamma O gives the serious competitor the extra step. That extra kick nobody knew was there. Gamma O raises your testosterone level naturally and legally. So before you step up to the line one more time, be prepared to bring it with Gamma O, the all-natural testosterone booster. Gamma O is available nationwide at General Nutrition Centers or on the web at GammaO.com.
P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at HighProteinBread.com. P28 is also now available at Bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. HighProteinBread.com. P28 Bread. RX Muscle approved.
So are you from Australia, paying far too much for supplements with the inflating whey and amino prices? Why not check out the all-new RX Muscle Australia for the latest Australian and worldwide content and coverage. While you're there, check out Bulk Nutrient Supplement Store, the official supplement store for RX Muscle Australia. You can visit Bulk Nutrients at bulknutrients.com.au, your one-stop shop. And also check out the all-new rxmuscle.com.au. RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australia. In bodybuilding.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up to the minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Welcome back to Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo here with Chris the Technician Aceto. There was a bodybuilding show, and there was a press conference, and Aaron covered them, and all the pictures are up on RxMuscle.com. Let's talk about the show. Now, one thing that I noticed, obviously I didn't see the show because I left before it went on, but the placings at this show were exactly the same, with the exception of, I think they might have been exactly the same as the Olympia. Did Tony Freeman beat? Yeah, he beat Rudy Winkler at the Olympia.
He did at the end.
So, yeah, the same placings. Phil Heath, Kai Greene, Tony Freeman, Rudy Winkler, Mike Kafalianos. And then in the figure, Aaron Stern, Nicole Wilkins, Candace Keene, Heather Dees. And then bikini, Nicole Negroni, India Paulino. So, and then, of course, in 212, you had David Henry and Jose Raymond. So, I mean, it was pretty consistent. I thought that Phil was not in as good a shape as he was at the Olympia. Did you see the pictures?
I did see the pictures. It's hard to tell with the lighting. Maybe he wasn't in his quite as good a shape, but he was, he's round like a balloon, man. You know, he's I was looking at the pictures, and I thought that...
his waist looked blocky to me, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, his waist is a little wider, and, you know, I think it was wider this year than last year. But overall, what he's got going on for him is just the monstrosity of the delts, arms, and the pecs were full here, which they weren't in pre-judging at the Olympia, although they were at the finals. But, he looks like a balloon, though. He looks like he's the modern day Michelin man without the
yeah. Well, I thought at the Olympia his waist was really streamlined, ripped crazy hard. I thought he, and it could just be an illusion, but I think the pictures, he just looked, Kai looked sharper than him in the pictures. I have to get a talk to Aaron about this to get the, you know, I knew that they never unseated Mr. Olympia anyway. If he was close, he was going to win. He would have had to been really, 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 really off. And he wasn't really off. He was, I thought maybe he was a little off. Well, what did you think of Kai's look? Did you like him better here or at the Olympia?
No, I liked his back here, but I just thought he was sharper in prejudging at the Olympia for sure. Mm. And I think that Kai Greene has a more impressive package when he is absolutely sliced like crazy. And I think even if he was flat and sliced, you know, if Kai is, quote, flat but sliced like crazy, then he's got the crazy lower lats that just do all kinds of weird stuff, and the hamstrings.
I thought he had it this time around.
No, so. he did have it, but I just thought of prejudging at the Olympia, you know, he had it more.
Yeah, probably. I'll go along with that. Once again, the show is kind of anticlimactic. I thought the weekend was more exciting. I think my knee tear was probably more exciting than the actual show itself because of the fact that it was something unique to talk about. And, so if I helped make news for the site, I guess that was a good thing. I will say one thing. Everyone was very nice to me. All the people that work for all the magazines there, not just our magazine, were very, asking me how I was doing, and they were asking, wishing me well and a safe flight. So I wanted to say thank you to everyone who was kind enough to come up to me and show me love and sympathy. Yeah. Yeah, my dad even.
As much as they realize in time of sometimes in times of peril,
crisis,
or danger, people realize, we're not as, quote, bad enemies as we,
It would be like we were overseas fighting a war together. Like everyone was on the same side over there. You know, that's what it was like.
So maybe if you slipped at the USA, people wouldn't have given you the How you doing? You know, you okay? But since you're out of the country,
it's like when they take these basketball players and they put them on Team USA for the Olympics, and everyone gets along. And then as soon as the Olympics are over, and they go back in their respective teams, they're all bad mouthing each other again. You know, that's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
My dad actually called, and I normally wouldn't have answered it because, you know, it's I'm in India, but I figured, you know what, I was going to call him anyway. I wanted to tell him what happened. So he was completely confused as to where I was. And then once he realized where I was in India, he was already calculating what the phone call was going to cost. So he was ready to hang up. I'm like, don't hang up.
Yeah.
I'm like, Dad, don't worry about it. I'm like, I got hurt. So he's like, what do you mean you got hurt? What happened? And he's like, I thought he was going to say, you know, usually he would say, what were you looking, what you're doing? You know, he knew that he had to show me sympathy. And he did not mention himself one bit the whole conversation. He was like giving me like, you know, saying all the right things to me. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. And I'm like, I started getting choked up a little bit. And I'm like, Dad, I don't understand that. You're the only person who could do this. I wasn't even upset. You know, and then I talked to you and I'm getting choked up on I'm getting teary eyed. And he's like, well, you know, that's because, you know, I love you. We all love you. Everything, you know, he gave me all the right answers. And I was like crying in the middle of the 12 year old kid in the middle of the mess of the food court there where they were serving the food. And I said, all right, Dad, I'll call you when I get back. I got to go. You're making me look weak here. So I hung up with him. And no, but it's very nice. I know my dad is worried, gets worried about that kind of stuff when it comes to health issues. But it was good. It was a good trip. I enjoyed it. I like I said, I would recommend that if you get a chance to go to India, if you, Chris, get a chance next year to go. It's an experience. It's a long flight. But you know what? I found that I actually like long flights because I sleep on the flight, at least half of it. And the food is pretty good on these long flights. And they have movies. You could watch the latest movies that just came out and they're all free. I watched Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man, on the way there. I watched on the way back Men in Black, which was pretty good. And I watched, what else? I watched The Rock of Ages, which Tom Cruise plays a rock singer, like a heavy metal rock, not a heavy metal, but a rock singer from the 80s. And it's good. It's all music from the 80s. If you like rock music, and cool, it's like a musical. It's like a musical movie. I actually enjoyed it just because the music was so good. And then I was actually watching it. I wanted to ask you about this movie. I was watching this movie called Hysteria. It's a true story, or based on a true story, about this British doctor in the late 1800s who invented the vibrator for women's for pleasuring women, because what they would they
realized it's a movie. Is it a documentary or a movie?
No, it's a movie, but it's based on a true story about this guy who invented it. And then, see, back in the late 1800s, if women were like too loud, or if they were, you know, they didn't have a husband or something like that, and they would act like they would talk about sex, they would say they were hysterical. That's where the term came from, and they called it hysteria.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So all these women so there were these doctors that would basically masturbate these women like in a very clinical setting, you know. And they would pay big money for this. Like, you know, these old women would come in and they'd cure them of the hysteria. They'd have to come in once a week for an appointment. And so this guy who was working for this older doctor who had been doing it for quite a while, he came up with an idea to make a machine to do it, you know. It's an ingenious idea. Unfortunately, I missed the last 15 minutes of the movie because they cut me off as we were landing, so I don't know how it ended. But it was a funny movie. If you get a chance to watch Hysteria, it's not what you expect.
It sounds like Woody Allen would have done a good job with it.
It wasn't a comedy, but it was done in a lighthearted way. It was very Britishy, movie. And Maggie Gyllenhaal was in there. In the movie, she was played the star, so she was good. But so yeah, I had fun on the plane, and then I on the way back, one of the flight attendant male flight attendants was a bodybuilding fan, so he was giving me anything I wanted. He was bringing me the first class food, and you know everyone was feeling bad for me that I had the leg and everything, so he was bringing me wine. I didn't want to drink alcohol on the way back because I was like I didn't know what was going on with my leg, but I was eating all the crazy food he was bringing me, so I want to thank him for that.
So did he know who you were?
Yeah, he's like, oh, I guess he must have been on the last flight into India, too. And I guess where all the girls were on that flight. It was like 40 people, bodybuilders, were on that flight. So he was all excited. And then I was talking to him about it. And he knew who I was, so because he had followed the sport. So we would bullshit a little bit. And then I actually made friends with a 12-year-old sitar player. This kid and his dad.
On the flight.
Well, yeah, I met him before he got on the plane. And the dad was the one of the more premier sitar players in the entire world. And the son is awesome, too. This kid is only 12 years old. He's phenomenal. They performed at some concert hall in India. That's what they were doing there. The father's Indian. The mother is American. So we bonded. We were talking about WWE wrestling. And you know, I was in the mood like, you know what? Normally, I wouldn't even talk to the kid because I'd be too annoyed. I'd be doing work or something like that. But I was like so annoyed with my injury that I just was being like a really good guy to
everyone.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Just get out of the element. Stretch right. A little.
Exactly, exactly. Tony Freeman, third place behind Phil Heath and Kai Greene. I wasn't that impressed with his conditioning level, but, you know, Tony has an amazing ability to keep competing. And he's going to, I know he's doing Masters Olympia too later in the year. Do you think that's at this point, Tony's a little older. He's 46 years old. Do you think it's a good strategy to hit as many shows as he can at this point and just try to cash in?
Well, you know, yeah, I think it's a good strategy. Make some cash, and you know, he's either going to get, you know what, if all the shows were in the States, I'd say he's going to get better.
Yeah.
But you know, with all the travel, he could get worse. Just simply, you know, it's the travel from country to country and do these shows. Absolutely. So he's got India, and then he's running out to Madrid, and then he's going to England, and then he's going. You know what I mean? He's going to Czech, and then he's going to come back and do the Masters. So
yeah. Oh, that's right. He's going to Europe. So, yeah. You know, it's interesting, but and maybe you can come up with a reason for this. When Aaron and I were sitting next to each other on the plane, the whole thing, we basically ate the same foods. He ate a little more junk food than I did. Maybe had a little bit extra alcohol. But when we landed, my legs were shredded. I had not a stitch of water on my legs. His ankles were fucking like elephant ankles.
Why? I don't know.
Why do some people hold water and some people don't? I don't know.
I asked you that with somebody who I knew who just flew, who'd been pretty ripped, and then flew somewhere, not a long flight, 5-6 hours, and they were holding water. And I asked you, and you said, I don't know. You told me the same thing. You said you lose water, and some people hold water. You tell me.
I don't know.
Do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I've been trying to figure it out. I can't. I guess different bodies act differently. He was eating a lot of junk food. He was eating candy bars and drinking alcohol. So I have to believe it's the diet, maybe, because I eat so clean. Maybe that's why I don't hold water. It's possible.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, it could be. I don't know. It's very different from person to person. So when people say, "Oh, I hold water from the flight," some people do. You know, and. I guess it's okay if for bodybuilding, if you know what the remedy is, you know, what's the easy remedy when you get off. I would be inclined to say it's just time, you know.
Yeah.
Usually, you know, a day or two after you get off the flight, the water goes away.
Yeah. See, that's why some guys have to come a little earlier than other guys, you know, especially if they hold water. You know, Jay Cutler was there, and he was, they love Jay Cutler in India. Oh, boy, do they love Jay Cutler.
Really?
He probably was more popular than anyone there, and he didn't even compete. So
well, he's been on top of his game for what 20 years.
I mean,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, he was in a good mood. So. I was bullshitting with him a little bit, and he seemed in a lighthearted mood. He didn't seem like he wanted to go anywhere other than, you know, wherever they drove him. You know, he didn't like Aaron and I were venturing out. Like to leave the hotel, you have to go through this like gate that's like 50 feet high. You know, they let you out, and basically they're like, well, if you get back, you know, knock on the gate, we'll let you back in. But, you know, that's pretty much the Jay. If he had to go anywhere, he had like three cars, you know, armed cars, you know, driving him around. Aaron and I were like, they were like, all right, yeah, hopefully we'll see you later. You know,
what was he doing there for BP or BPI, whatever?
No, I think Sharu flew him in just because he was so popular. You know,
yeah.
The show is more than just a show, Chris. It was like a whole press junket, almost, you can call it. It was like the presidential debates, you know. More than just that, people wanted to interact with the bodybuilders, and I think it was like the bodybuilding experience, not just a show. That's why it doesn't really matter how many competitors were there, because it was like people wanted to just meet the bodybuilders. It was just amazing, you know, how the response you got from it.
Sharu, what would his main thing in having the show is to publicize a supplement company that he has, or just to help bodybuilding grow, or
publicize bodybuilding in India. There's a lot of fans, you know. There's a tremendous amount of following. It's gotten cultish proportions there, and I guess he wants to bring the biggest event possible. He wants to bring like the Mr. Olympia there. Obviously, he'll never get the Olympia there, so he's making his own Olympia basically. And he's treating it like that with press conferences. And, you know, just, I mean, we had, there were people literally in the lobby at a desk there, two people at all times who were working for their the public relations aspect of the show. When I got back from the hospital at 3 a.m, they were still there. And they were like, oh, all right. I said, I needed my flight changed. They were there to do any, they were so accommodating these people that it was amazing. I mean, in that respect, he did a very, very good job. I have to tell, I don't look, I don't know if Sheru lost his hat on the show or if he made money or if he broke even, but he did a phenomenal job. I mean, he really made everyone feel very special there. And so I give him an A+ on the show. And even though I got hurt and it didn't work out well for me, I still have nothing bad to say about India. I have nothing bad to say about the show or the hotel. I thought everything was phenomenal. They took care of us. They put us in really nice rooms. And we had Wi-Fi there. So I feel like I had every modern day. It was just in a different country. And I don't mind.
Well, at the night show, they sold how many tickets, I heard?
I don't know. That's a good question. I have to ask Aaron that because I was not there, obviously. And I'm sure they made some money. It was a big arena. They had it in the Indira Gandhi Arena, which holds 20,000 people. Now, I'm sure he didn't sell 20,000 seats, but I bet he came close to that. Even if he sold half that, he'd be doing very well.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, even if he sold half, 10,000.
It's more than the Olympia probably sells, you know.
Yeah.
But these guys never get a chance to see this kind of bodybuilding, and so that's the draw and the appeal. David Henry won the 212 event with Jose Raymond in second and Masoom Butt in third. Now, what did you think looking at the pictures? I thought it looked pretty right, the decisions.
I did. Yeah, I thought it was pretty right. I thought the decision was pretty right. You know, it's funny, the 212 guys for this show. Well, let's just take the show. It's just totally. I mean, if you compare, they have just different physiques. I guess going back to the Olympia, you got Flex Lewis, David Henry, you know, Correa, Jose, Masoom. They're just such totally different bodies. I guess you could say that the same would be true for the men's open too. But, you know, to be roughly all around the same weight, different heights and everything else, it's amazing. But I thought this was David Henry's absolute best.
Yeah, he seems to be getting better and better and better. If you were David Henry, would you recommend that he do maybe one of these English shows or the Prague show just in the open maybe?
Yeah, because, you know, shit, by the time these guys get to Prague, they'll be so burnt out and you know, he'll probably be better.
That's what I'm
thinking. You know what I mean?
He's getting better and better.
He may even be improved.
He was complaining like crazy because, you know, when they picked us up at the airport, they were like 10 minutes late, you know, like, because he was so... He had to be there, and he went and trained that night. When he got in, we got in at like 11 o'clock, and he went and worked out in the hotel gym. So he was all business when he was there, and obviously it paid off because he was very professional. I got to say though, Jose looked really good too. He might have even looked better than he did at the Olympia. You know,
yeah, I think he was a little sharper actually.
Yeah. So, but you know, David Henry was so good, just a testament to this guy's shape and his muscle separation. That Jose couldn't beat him, but Jose seemed like he was in a good mood the whole weekend. I don't know. I guess, you know, I think he was drinking a little bit. He was always seemed like he had a little nice little buzz going on.
Wait a minute, you weren't there the whole weekend. You were just there 2 days. I thought.
Well, I was there the 2 days before the show. I could see him drinking after the show, but I think he was drinking before the show too. But who knows?
No. It was a battle. It was a battle. That was a good lineup. These 212 shows are a crazy lineup.
Really good. Really good lineup. And I was impressed with Masoom Butt, too, who looked really good. It's another one of your clients. You had two guys in the 212 here.
Yeah, he went to some press. They took him out to some little gym meeting somewhere. And
he's Pakistani, you know, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
But they made him his own. He posed to Indian music, by the way, at night.
It was smart. You know, because when I went and visited some of the ruins there, what I learned, I kind of knew it, but I had to be refreshed into my memory. All the Hindu temples that they had built, you know, thousands of years ago, when the Muslims came and the Turks came in and conquered all this, they knocked down all the Hindu temples and they rebuilt all their own stuff, minarets, and they built these big spires just to, like, you know, like bragging rights. These minarets look like long penises sticking into the air. That's what they really are. I guess subconsciously, these guys. And all they did, they would get into power, they'd spend 20, 30 years in power, and they would just spend that 20, 30 years working on building tombs for themselves when they died. It's kind of ironic. Mm-hmm. One of these sites, and what they would do is they would knock all the Hindu shit down, and they would leave like one pillar up for good luck. They leave one Hindu pillar and everything else wiped out. And if you watch the video we put up, we document all that, and you can actually get a little historical sense of what happens there. You know, there's a lot of battling between and the Muslim religion. Go figure that. I mean, in this country, it's you know, the Christians versus the Muslims. But and then what happened is they would keep beating each other in wars, and that's the whole history of India. When India used to be one country, they decided we'll split it up. We'll put Pakistan will be where the Muslims live, the majority of them live, and then we have the Hindus, the majority of them live in India, which is not the case because there's crossover everywhere. And that's how India split up.
You use Kashmir as a buffer zone between them. Yeah.
And then they get the Sri Lankans, who they hate. It's funny because the Indians are, you know, you would think that they're dark skinned, that they would be tolerant of skin color changes. They're more racist than the United States is. They hate the dark, they call them the darkies, you know, the Sri Lankans, because they're darker skinned. Uh-huh. They all look exactly the same, though. All the Indians, yeah. Pakistan, they all look exactly the same, just the skin color is the difference. And they victimize each other because of that. It's so wacky the whole way that works. But once again, we talked about this on last week's show. When you cross racial boundaries in the bodybuilding world, there really is no racism. So I'm happy to say that we're kind of immune to that.
No, yeah, we are. So the plans for next year for the Shiro, he's still going on with it, right?
I would guess so. I mean, I haven't talked to him directly. I'm sure Aaron will find out, you know, by the end of the week when they tally up and see what they made. Aaron won't be coming back for another day or so. He's leaving Sunday night, so he'll be leaving probably in another whole day. So I'm sure he'll hopefully find something interesting to do there. He bought this rug for his house. They originally wanted $2,000 for it, US dollars, and they were like, there's no way we can lower the price. And so Aaron and I worked this guy really good. We got him down to $625 for a really beautiful rug. You know, the funny thing is that we were thinking, oh, we beat this guy up. We got him down. The rug probably cost $30.
Yeah. The next person probably got it down to like $300.
Yeah. So. You
feel good about it, but the next person probably really feels good about it.
The thing weighed like 10 pounds. Like, they rolled it up into this little ball so he can put it in his suitcase. And here's another thing that really annoyed the shit out of me. On the way there, they told me my bag was 4 pounds over or something like that, or 2 kilos over. And they actually made me take one of my boots out of my bag. I'm like, are you guys serious? We're going overseas. You know what these tickets cost? You're going to fucking... They're like, well, if you want to...
What'd you do with that boot? Put it in your carry-on?
I put it in Aaron's. Aaron had another carry-on that was empty, so I put it in there. Because it was stupid, because you think, all right, give us a few extra pounds going overseas. I mean, we're paying $1,000. I mean, I think probably Sheru paid $1,800 for the ticket.
Sure.
You know, what the hell's the difference? I mean, at this point, I mean, they'll let you bring 4 million pounds on the plane with you in your carry-ons, but you can't. They have to weigh your bags you check in. It's adding the whole system.
Yeah, makes no sense.
Then right before I'm driving to the airport, Aaron calls me. He's like, "You got to stop at the drugstore and pick some." What do I got to pick up for you? He's like, "Oh, we're not going to be able to get it in India." He's like, "I'll text you the list." I said, "Okay." So he sends me this list. He wants number one. He wants disposable Mach 3 razors. I don't know why he wants disposable. They come three in a container, three razors. So, you know, we're there for 5 days. I'm thinking he probably needs one. He's like, I need two. So that means he needed 6 razors. Now, the 3 razors cost $12. So for 25, it was $25 for 6 razors. I'm like, Aaron, that's like $4 a razor. I said, what could you possibly do with 6 razors over the course of 5 days? He's like, well, I have to use one a day. I'm like, you shave that, you are that heavy bearded that you cannot use a razor more than once?
He never looks clean shaving. Wait a minute.
Well, then he said to me, he goes, well, I only shave my face twice a week. I said, well, if you only shave your face twice a week and we're going to be there for 5 days, why do you need 6 razors? Which, at that point, the logic was getting way too powerful.
I'm just going to say, I'm totally lost now.
He didn't. I don't know what he needed it for. Who the hell? Maybe he wanted me to buy him razors so he would have them for Prague and wherever else he's going, England. I don't know. Or Spain, rather. I don't know. I bought him the razors because he was, you know, what am I going to say? No. And then he wanted me to get him baby wipes, aloe vera baby wipes. I said, what?
For him or for his baby?
No, for him. I said, what do you need these for?
What does he do with those?
He's like, well, there's no toilet paper in India. There's no toilet paper in India. He's like, oh, you're going to need these things.
Well, they haven't invented it yet. Listen, Aaron, they have 4 seasons. It's there somewhere.
Well, you know what it is? They in the like the regular houses and stuff like that, no one uses toilet paper. They use a spray thing and they just wash their ass and, off.
All
the hotels have toilet paper. Even the gym had toilet paper. So I don't know what he was talking about. So I had to get him his freaking baby wipes and disposable Mach 3s, six disposable Mach 3s. Which were ridiculous. I don't know. He's like the biggest waster. Like, you know, even I don't mind, you know, using a razor a couple times.
I mean,
it drives me crazy. I didn't even know they made the disposable Mach 3s look as good as the regular ones. I said, why don't you just buy a regular one and change the blade every time you shave? It costs you the same thing. Too much.
What do you say?
I was hitting him with too much logic. It was too much for him. He couldn't handle it. So,
maybe the Xanax was already in him.
Yeah, he was. But you know what? He did such a good job, and he was such a good friend because, you know, I was sick, and I mean, I hurt myself, and he stayed there with me the whole time in the emergency, did not leave. I mean, believe me, it must have been boring as shit for him. I know he was loving filming the whole thing, but still, you know, it gets tiring to be in a freaking emergency room. We hadn't eaten anything. We had gotten back, and we were supposed to go eat, and then this happened, and it was just, you know, disastrous. So. Thank you very much, Aaron. You were a true friend this weekend. Plus, you did a great job on all your coverage. Even though as we've been doing this show, I've been texting him, where the hell are the pictures of Jose Raymond? Because there was only two pictures up there. But, you know, other than that, he did a very, very good job. And Pierre Lamely did a great job. Actually, the two of them stayed in the same room until I left. And then he took my room. And Pierre is an interesting character. And you've hung out with him before. And you're going to hang out with him again in Europe.
Yeah.
And he's like you. He hardly eats, you know. But... he's unlike you. He wants to eat. He just doesn't eat. I think because he tries to keep his budget low. So I was giving him. I had extra food. It didn't matter what I gave him. I could have given him a piece of aluminum foil. He would have eaten it. And I'm like, man, you could eat, Pierre. He's very quiet, but he's a very good photographer.
He's slender. So you know, it's obvious he doesn't eat. I've never seen him eat.
He's got a beautiful
kid.
Next
time I see him, when I see him in England, I'll buy him a meal.
Yeah, and ask him first to get. Oh, he'll love you. He'll love you.
Not England. I mean, where am I going to see him? Madrid?
You're going to see him in India. India. I mean, you're going to see him in England. India. You're going to see him in Madrid, and you're going to see him in Prague. He'll be all those places. So he's a good guy.
I'll try to bulk him up. I'll do it before and after.
Yeah. Because I asked for a basket of bread. I'm like, you want some bread? He's like, well, I'll have one piece. Him and I ate the whole basket of bread because, you know, it takes him a long time to bring the food sometimes. And so it's pretty interesting. All in all, given what I went through, it was a pretty interesting weekend for me. I enjoyed myself. I can't really complain. I'm not going to complain. And I'm going to leave it at that. I don't even know if I'm going to get Aaron to do his radio show segment because he'll be flying back, and you know, he gets back like 4 in the morning or 6, 8 in the morning, I think, on Monday. You know, look, all the coverage is still going up. I'm still putting up interviews from the Olympia. I got some great stuff. I just put a picture.
I saw some of the new interviews up.
We had the Louis Ferrigno interview. We had, I just put the Chewbacca versus PJ Braun racing at the Ultimate Nutrition booth. They had a little race car set up there, and
I did see that.
You saw that one?
Yeah. I didn't see the video. No, I didn't see the video. I saw the little setup.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. So there's more going up too. Oksana Grishina rubs lipo redux fat burning cream on herself in a very sensual manner.
I was just going to say
India Paulino punching a punching bag. So I make the athletes work for their interview. I don't just let them get off easy. I make them do stuff that takes them out of their comfort zone to show their skill set off. And if sometimes they don't have skill sets, you know,
other than looking good.
Yeah. Well, you actually were in one of the interviews with Eduardo Correa at the Probiotica booth, where Marcelo, the owner, told us point blank that he is the title sponsor of the Arnold Classic in Brazil, which is going to be taking place in April of 2013. And he guaranteed us that we will be going there. All of RX Muscle will be flying out there, and we will be the official media sponsor there with him. And we're going to do some great coverage there. Not only am I looking forward to going to the Arnold Brazil, I'm looking forward to possibly making a side trip to go see John of God, who is a spiritual healer who works in Brazil. And so I might drag you there with me if your wife lets you.
If your knee's still weak, he can heal it by then.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that. He could, you know, finish up the healing process.
Maybe he can give me an appetite. It can be like Wizard of Oz.
You never know. Now, the funny thing is, I'm wondering, are you still going to be married, you think, by the time the weekend's over? The month's over,
dude, I made a big mistake. Right. I'm going to... I don't make a lot of big mistakes. I don't because I do what I want to do. And I got caught up in the moment with... I never go back. I don't say never. It's rare for me to go back on my word, including when I'm wrong. So when I'm wrong on something, or when I want to change my mind, I'll typically tell someone, and if they say, "Well, you said this," and I say, "You know what? You're right, and that is what I did tell you." So even though a lot of times I'll say, "Well, it is my," you know,
what's the point?
I try to explain this. I reserve the right to change my mind. With Rodin, I got somehow looped into the Arnold Madrid.
Right.
And then I got looped into the British show thereafter. And then somehow Correa, at the last minute, said, "I really want to do the Prague show. Can you come?" And I didn't realize the duration of the time in which I'd be away.
Mm.
And I really don't have the ability to go away that long. And it's I don't worry about a lot of things, but I'm worried about going away that long.
Yeah, you're
going
to be gone almost like a month straight. I don't even know how you're going to do it. What the hell are you going to do? I know what the bodybuilders are going to do. You don't even work out. What are you going to do in between all this?
Drink coffee, probably smoke cigars, look for things to do.
You're going to go out of your mind.
I don't know. I am going to go out of my mind.
When Aaron arrives, I mean, you'll have fun, but I'm just thinking you're going to really be uncomfortable, essentially, because maybe you'll start working out because you don't have anything else to do there.
Well, every time I try to work out, my immune system goes wacky, so that's not going to happen.
That's because you don't eat.
I know, that's probably part of it too.
And you're certainly not going to get good food in England, in Europe. You're going to get like
in England. You're not going to get it. Sorry, folks. Unless you get some. I mean, they have good Indian restaurants. Speaking of India,
Now, will Masoom Butt be there, or he's done?
Masoom is going to Britain. Yeah.
Oh, he is.
He's going to go to Britain. Oh, yeah. Right. So he's dangerous. You know. Look at the pictures on RX, and he's you know, the only knock on him from Toronto, which. You know, that's getting nitpicky was, you know, his glutes and hams weren't really there, but they were there for this show, you know, and
yeah, he's a dangerous guy. Will he be competing? Is he allowed to compete in the United States at all?
I don't know. You're supposed to get the interview. He says yes, you know.
He says yes.
He's got a long story, you know.
No, I know. Every time I talk to him, he's got the long story, but I'm just wondering if I think that I'd like to see him do some 212 events. How did he actually qualify from last year?
He didn't qualify. Someone just said why? Hey, what? You know, just asked me why wasn't he in the Olympia? I said he wasn't good enough. Meaning he got second. It was tough to qualify. He got second in Toronto, and that was his big comeback show to bodybuilding. And then after that, he said, "Okay, I'll do the Shiru." He said, his idea was, who can beat me? It's my hometown, almost.
True. Very true.
You know?
Very true.
He said he went in India with Shiru to a gym in which 2,000 people showed up.
Wow. That's impressive.
And they were chanting his name when he came. And that was in the context, as I texted him, and he said... at some point, I think it was like a couple days before, and I said, "Wow, for some reason today you look, you know, like you look wiped out, you look flat." And he said, "I didn't eat any of my meals." And I said, "You got to be out of your mind. You know, why would you not?"
Right.
He said, "I just was overwhelmed with the excitement." You know, and that's what he told me. You know, I went to a gym and there were 2,000 people there chanting my name.
How good can Masoom Butt be, in your opinion?
Oh.
Like against the top guys?
Two things are going to happen probably for him. Either... he's going to just go sideways like a lot of people, which is fine, you know, and look the same. Or he is going to, you know, take it to another level. And I say that because he's got 20 years of training behind him, which is different from a lot of these guys. So he really has a lot of mature muscle. And he's only been back into training after a good layoff, 5 years maybe, a 5 year layoff. Maybe he's been training a year, 10
wow.
months.
Okay.
He trained 4 months exactly, 5 months to the day for the Toronto show.
Interesting. Very interesting.
And when people say, "Well, you know, you got to improve this a little bit, you're going to need that from the Toronto," you know, he said, "That's just time." which he's right, you know.
He is so. Right. Well, can he challenge the likes of like you know, Jose Raymond and those guys? Does he have the structure, do you think, to do that?
Yeah, I think he can.
That's a big compliment.
We remain to be seen. You know what I mean? Mm. He's a type B. He may pick all the 212 shows next year. You know what I mean? He loves what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing him in the future. The bikini Shrew Classic here was won by Nicole Negrani, who was the former Ms. Bikini Olympia, the winner of this year's Olympia here. Now Nicole Negrani, ironically enough, Chris, is half Indian. Her dad is Indian, so. She actually is the home. I guess you could say she was the hometown favorite in the bikini division there. So she won, which was a good win for her. I'm sure. I know she was very happy about that. She's always in a good mood. And India Paulino was second, who I'm sure would have liked to have won. And I don't know why, but she she didn't, obviously, here. And she settles for second place. In the figure, it was a rematch against Aaron Stern and Nicole Wilkins again. And Aaron Stern comes out on top, like we said earlier. Nicole Wilkins probably has the best structure in all of physique figure division, but she just did not have the conditioning level. Now, I noticed all the girls had these little, like, metallic dots on the middle of their head. Binkas or whatever the hell they're called. Binkies.
Oh, yeah, I saw one of the pictures with that.
Yeah, which I liked. It made it look... It's a good look.
But not the men.
No, not the men. I actually saw some of the women who were working in the hotel, and they had piercings through the little dot on their head, which I thought was really cool, too. So, you know, for some reason, the women who come to the United States, the Indian women in the United States who wear the thing, they all look like my grandmother. You know, they all look like these old women. I don't know. They just look like they're not attractive. But I'm telling you, they got some very attractive Indian women that I saw over there. And they have these, when they have the little dots, it looks super sexy. So I've rescinded my initial
just gonna ask you, what's that mean to you now?
Well, I rescinded my initial statement I made,
evaluation
about
the, or
yeah, or I'm now in favor of it. I understand why they do it. It is a sexy thing. It's like a piercing almost for them there. It sets them a little bit of swag. And if the girl's hot, it really looks good. If she's not, then it makes them look like, you know, like,
well, next year you have to find the top 10 best looking Indian girls over the weekend with that.
I got news for you. There was some working in that hotel, working for the publicity company that he hired, that were drop dead gorgeous Indian women, beautiful. You know, if I showed you, you'd be like, your jaw would hit the ground. And they were so nice. I don't know if I can't decide if it was an act because they're just very good at their job, or if they're just like that in general. Because it's almost
that's
too
just
good
because
to be
you have a sour taste in your mouth from at the airport when they wouldn't let you into the place.
That's right. I was in a bad mood. Candace Keene, who I thought looked really good here. I probably would have had her in second. She finishes in third, just like she did at the Olympia, with Heather Dees in fourth, which is where she finished at the Olympia. So, really, not much to talk about. You know, pretty much everyone got what they got at the Olympia. It was like kind of having the Mr. Olympia again. It was like they ran a rerun of it at the in India, and it was great for the Indian fans. I know all the athletes loved being there because they were treated like first class, you know, like VIP treatment. They got a free trip, they got to do a little shopping and taste some of the Indian cuisine. So all in all, I had an excellent weekend, Chris. Even though I, you know, people always say to me, how do you keep such a positive outlook? You know what, you got to, or you wind up blowing your brains out. And
you have no choice.
I'm not going to make this a negative situation. I'll get through it, and I'm sure I'll keep you guys updated every week. I'll complain about all the pains and aches I have, and all the physical therapy I'm going through, all the shows I'm missing, and all the other stuff that's going wrong in my life. But at the end of the day, I will come out with a positive outlook on everything that's going on. At least I'm going to try to. If there's any weeks, Chris, where I ever complain the whole time and don't give a positive spin at the very end.
Hit you in the knee?
Yeah, like thump me in the ear or something like that, and make sure you wake me up a little bit. So, but
I've never seen you in a bad mood. So,
Well, I try to stay positive. But that's the show pretty much for the week, Chris. I'm going to give Aaron the week off because he did such a great job there in New Delhi, India. And there's really no guest that we really needed to have on the show. The only guest I really want to have was Masoom Butt, but we don't even know where he is. He might be Pakistan by now, for all we know. You know, once he got off stage, he took off on a camel somewhere. I don't know where he went, though.
Maybe you can get him. He's going to compete again, so maybe you can get him.
Chris, thanks for always being there and holding down the fort. And you're going to be going on the Chris Aceto RX Muscle European Tour starting next week in England at the British Grand Prix, followed up the week after at the Arnold Europe in Madrid, Spain, and then capping off October 27th weekend in Prague, Czech Republic, for their event down there, held by Eva Sukupova, who used to be a very excellent IFBB women's bodybuilder. Yeah, so you probably have some history there, because I know Laura used to create Laura Creal, Creval, your ex-wife, used to compete against her, and you'll be giving us the official rundown. You'll be doing a lot of the interviews there and wrap ups, and I'm looking forward to your coverage. I wish I would be with you. I wish I was going to be there with you in Prague, but I'm going to unfortunately probably be laid up with some surgery. And I'm sure you and Aaron will do all the reporting that's need to be reported. And just whatever you do, Chris, don't go to the gym there, maybe, because you'll probably find up falling on a staircase and ripping open your
no, you
your
did knee. It in a hotel. I'll stay away from the hotels.
No,
too.
I did it in the gym, not in the hotel gym.
Oh,
I did
yeah,
it in,
that's right, that's right, it on, that's right.
By the mall, the shopping mall. It's funny, isn't it weird how shopping malls in any every country look exactly the same? You can go to a shopping mall in China, you can go to a shopping mall in India, Finland, and a shopping mall in the United States. It's the same freaking stores.
Yeah,
the Indians
same
I
thing.
Found
same
are about
design.
Yeah, the Indians are about 20 years behind though. Like they still have like Benetton, you know, in the mall. That's like their big store there, Benetton. You remember when Benetton was big when we were in high school?
So. Yeah, that's right. that's when they still do. You know, you find out like these stores. Oh, they're still. How can they still be in business? That's because they're in business where there's 3 billion people.
That's right. Well, you know what it is also like they. They do the reason why they're so up on bodybuilding is it's like kind of back the way in the early 80s here. Remember when women's bodybuilding came out, how excited people were, and they were packing out the Felt Forum at the Madison Square Garden there. Now, that's the way it is in England. In India, they love bodybuilding. They just got their first taste of it, so they're so thrilled with it. They'll spend any amount of money you can pack in stadiums. Probably in 20 years from now, they won't be interested in bodybuilding.
Isn't it funny how it's... what is it? They get fatigued from it, or we got fatigued from it? Or
People get bored. They get bored. 99% of the population gets bored. The 1% that are true bodybuilders will never get bored because it's our passion. It's what we live for. But 99% of the population gets bored. That's why they need CrossFit. They need step aerobics. They need let's think of all the fads that over the years, you know, that have, you know, Tai Bo and Zumba. Yeah. They got so many different freaking, you know, aerobics classes that and then if you mention one of the old ones, they think that you're crazy, like it was a terrible workout. How could it be a terrible workout if it was a great workout? People get bored.
Yeah, your heart rate got up. Your heart rate got up.
People
same
get
old,
bored, Chris, and that's what it amounts to. And that is the reality. And you know, for the tried and true, they'll never get bored of it. But the majority of the population does, and that's why you got to bring men's physique and bikini, and because you got to keep these people stimulated, or they won't keep coming and watching the shows. And that's what it amounts to. So I'm glad that we have these divisions, and they have the new divisions that are going to bring new life into the sport. And I realize that people only know you for what you did this last year. Probably people think that you and I, this is what we do. We do a radio show, and we prep people for shows, and they know nothing about our past or anything that we did prior to this. The majority of the people.
No. People have short memories. It's like, you know, if you helped the bodybuilder for a show yesterday and he looked unbelievable, that's what you're known for. And if you helped him 35 times and he looked unbelievable, but the last show he looked below average, that's what you remembered for.
Well, think about it. Chad Nichols was helping everyone in the 90s. And, I mean, you would think everyone would know who he is. Now, you know, he does a radio show with Dan Solomon. I don't think most people don't know who the hell he is or what he's about. They didn't know that he helped Ronnie and he helped Flex Wheeler and Nasser and the Cormier and all those guys back in the 90s. So, you know, he's not relevant anymore, it seems like.
Well, he's making a comeback.
Yeah, well, if he helps Jay Cutler, like you have hypothesized, then that would be another athlete in his stable that might bring him back.
Well, when we go to Brazil, we'll ask John of God how that's going to pan out.
All right. Well, Chris, that's all she wrote for this week. I'm going to the surgeon after I get off this call.
Good
actually,
luck.
Tomorrow morning I'm going to be going for that. I will keep you updated next week. For now, though, I'd just like to thank once again the whole RX Muscle staff, Aaron Jabaka-Singerman, Pierre Lamely, who did a phenomenal job holding down the fort in England this past weekend. In India this past weekend. I got England on the brain.
Close.
Chris Aceto will be in England next weekend with Barry Stalker and Pierre Langley covering the British Grand Prix. Until next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio,
the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RxMuscle.com. The truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with Dave Palumbo only on Heavy Muscle Radio.